Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know that you are like all the rest of my listeners. You've tuned in because you don't have the foggiest idea what we will expose next. And so today, I'm bringing you one of the finest in Florida, Gary Balanoff. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lee. Good to be here.
So if you would do my listeners a favor and give them a little bit of backstory on who you are, where you're located, how long you've been in, or anything you think we ought to know.
Sounds good, Lee. Yeah, I've been in it for 33 years. In fact, in September, it actually marks a third of a century. And it makes me feel real old to say that. But I always have kind of taught our people stay young and think young and think ahead of the crowd. And it'll all work out for you. So I've been broker of RE/MAX Select here for almost 18 years. And we have a small but powerful crew, got a lot of RE/MAX Hall of Famers, which is $1 million plus in earnings. And they enjoy doing the business. And I think that's as much as anything why I've been in it as long as I have. I enjoy the process of just working with buyers and sellers. And as crazy as it gets sometimes, that's what gives it the juice. That's what makes you feel good, that if you've helped a young couple get into a house, and it's their first one, they're excited about that. And if you help an older, retired person who's lost their spouse and they just want to live with their family or in a nursing or an assisted living, we try to help them gently to be able to do that, even if it means they don't have internet access or something. So you do it old school where you go out there and you actually present offers in person and make sure that they feel comfortable with every line that's in the contract.
Oh, I like how you said that people want to go to assisted living. You meant the kids are making them go.
Well, that's part of it, unfortunately, Lee, but some of them choose voluntarily. It just depends. It's kind of like I heard one that said, I took really good care of my kids for the first 18 years, sent them off to college, and then told them when they got out that I would be coming back to visit them when the time came, and I'd be a burden to them for at least 18 years as they were to me. And I thought that's an interesting way of putting it, but life is
that
full
goes
circle.
Along with that whole idea of wanting to slide into your grave on the last dime you ever had.
Exactly. Use your resources wisely. Don't outrun them, but on the other hand, don't leave such large sums to your kids that they might not take care of you in your elderly days.
Okay, so 30 years in the business, you could probably think of a zillion different stories to tell. But before you decide to tell which crazy thing was most memorable to you, let me give you the two rules of the podcast. We're very easy to get along with here. One is don't use real names, make up names, or just call people X or something. And then if you want to talk salty, I don't mind salty language, but I am allergic to the F word, GD. And see you next Tuesday because they're just too much. For my sensibility.
We won't go there. I'm president of my church council, so I'm not allowed to use any of those words allowed. So I might think them from time to time, but I will not say them out loud. So that's okay.
Well, good job getting that under control. That's a gift in any form right there. So, Gary, tell us the story about crazy life in real estate.
Well, one of my favorites happened many years ago, and it was actually a pastor who had moved to town or was in the process of doing so and needed a place in this one area. And at that point, there were quite a few homes available. So I took him and his wife to, wait for it, 42 homes. And every time it was like, well, I don't like the family room in this one, or this is just too dated for us or whatever. So we went through newer homes, we went through older homes, we went through, expanded the area a little bit, tried to find something. And at the end of 42 homes, they announced to me that, well, this is just not working. And I guess we're just going to have to rent for the next year. So I helped set them up with a rental manager and we, got them into a rental. And I said, but I'm not going to give up on you. I know you're destined to have a house here. And let's make sure that we can do that. I'll get back together with you in 6 months, and we'll, in the event that you wanted to take a look at some new homes and subdivisions and so on. So we did that. And we looked at 40 more houses. So we're up to 82, right?
That's so many houses.
That's just insane. But at the end of that time, they said, you know, I'm sorry to do this to you, Gary. I know you've been working really hard on, you know, to help us, but, you know, just there's something missing in each home. And I said, well, you have to understand, and we've been doing this over an almost 2 year period. The reason I'm showing you what you qualify for, you know, I can't go above your price range unless you have an extra $50,000 in the bank that you didn't tell me about. And as a pastor, I assume that you don't, or else how did you get that money? But anyway,
different can of worms you might be opening up there.
Exactly. So I said, so what do you want to do here? I said, well, it looks like we'll have to rent for another year. I said, well, do what you need to do. And I really, at that point, had frankly, I'd given up all hope. It was no more than about 2 months later, I was out welcoming other buyers to the new home community that I just sold. And I was going out there to give them a little, you know, closing gift and take a walk through and see how they were decorating things and so on and welcome them to the community. And then after, you know, a few minutes of doing that, I said, so have you met any of the neighbors? Yes, absolutely. The next door neighbors, you know them. And they said their name. And I said, my jaw, I'm sure just visibly dropped at that point. I don't get surprised by much, but it was the couple that I'd shown 82 homes to, and they had been moved into this new spec home. The strange thing about that was that about 3 months before that, when they said they were renting, I had shown them that particular home. So all I could do was gracefully finish out my welcome to the community to my loyal clients and went immediately to the model center. And I said, what are you doing here? You basically, I didn't see any commission check here. Did you just forget that I had already registered them? And so she goes, and this is back when they were still before, you know, all computer technology been logged in and, you know, what day and everything else. So they had like little 3x5 cards. And so she looked through and diligently and she goes, oh, here's the problem. We only have a 30-day registration period for this. And it looks like they actually wrote the contract 40 days after you had signed them in.
Oh, that's not good. Small print there.
Well, it's kind of one of those things that you go, do you want to have a good relationship with brokers and agents, or do you not? I mean, you're a new home builder. You want our cooperation. Supposedly, half of all your sales are through agents. Why would you do this? Why would you not have called me if they came back in someday without me and said, hey, your people are here? And then I would have run out there and made sure that they, you know, got what they needed in a new home, which I'd already explained to them and showed them and everything else. So that was an example. And it kind of made me feel good that no more than 2 months after that, that company declared bankruptcy and the builder went out of business. So yay. But I mean, I'm not hoping for that. But I told the lady there, I said, you know, I deal with a lot of new home clients and I know a lot of people in our industry. And I assure you that if they ask me, what do you think of fill in the blank homes? I will tell them, I don't think much of fill in the blank homes, and this is what happened to me, and that's what's happened. So anyway,
exactly.
I was just glad to see that menace had been wiped out, and we, you know, go on to other builders that are a little bit more cooperative, shall we say.
Well, and the thing that a lot of buyers don't understand is what value a realtor brings when they're buying new construction, because many builders and builder representatives are amazingly ethical and open and transparent. But there are some that understand they're going to sell this one house to that one buyer one time. Right. And that person doesn't have to be taken care of because they don't represent repeat business. But that's and I as realtors know that every builder makes mistakes. It's humans who build houses. And our job is to be that third set of eyes and to ask additional questions that the buyer may not think to ask. And it breaks my heart when you go back to a house later to sell it in the resale market and the homeowners bought it directly from the builder and they give you the laundry list of oh man, we never knew X. We never knew Y. They never told us Z.
Exactly. Now, I will give you the flip side of that story, and that was working with a young couple just earlier this year and trying to find something that was affordable and, you know, within certainly their price range and amenities and everything else, and found a couple of because they wanted new. So I took them to a couple of new home subdivisions that I was most familiar with. And I said, believe me, if you see anything along the way, please, you know, call me if you just happen to drive past something, and I'll check it out for you. And we'll go in there together and I'll make sure that you get what you need. And they said, fine. Well, again, when the flags are a-fluttering, and you kind of like all everything that Gary taught you is, you know, out the window. So they walked into this development, but they did have the kindness to say, we're working with Gary. And the agent said, oh, that's great. Oh, yeah, I know Gary. And so she called me from the home and said, I think we've got you a sale here. And so she, you know, put it all together, and I raced out there, and I was with them for the actual contract writing and made sure that they got the items that they were really looking for, and gave them some overview as to what what extras paid off in time and what were kind of extras that you'd be almost better off putting in after the fact and saving yourself some money that way. And they were very appreciative of that, and they paid me what I thought was going to be a regular commission. And then when the HUD statement came out, this was just before they switched. Well, actually, no, it was. It was the closing statement. They went with a new one. And the closing statement came out, and I got an extra percent bonus. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, after so many times when you feel like you work through the process with people and they either decide they can't do something or it doesn't work, or you're writing five different offers on five different places and, you know, none are high enough to be able to meet the needs of the seller and so on. This was, I didn't even walk in with them. And this builder was kind enough to, you know, recognize that I was working with them and put me on the contract. And I would say there are probably more builders in our area like that than there are ones that will try to stick it to you. But, you know, the bottom line is still you've got to be proactive in your relationships with all these people and just try to make it possible so that they trust you enough that they're not going to take the commission dollars out of your pocket.
Right. And the commission dollars, of course, when you've been in this business this long, that's all the secondary piece. You just want to make sure that your clients are protected. And of course, we do want to take care of our families too, but the best builders know that dangling bonuses at us is not really the way to get our attention with our clients. We want to bring them to quality construction and good locations.
Exactly. And I didn't do it because of commission, obviously. I mean, this was a situation where it was just like they threw it on the top. And yeah, I mean, I got fortunate with that. But it does, things even out over time, I've found, in terms of, you know, good luck, bad luck, you know, And just doing the right thing is something that I've preached for years now, because I just think if you do the right thing by your client, and we're one of the few in all of Florida now that's because we have single agency, but so few use it because the state actually assumes transaction brokerage, which means you're at arm's length transaction. You're just trying to get them through the process. And our attorney, I'd asked him when agency first came out, you know, should we be involved in single agency transaction brokerage or no brokerage transaction at all? And he said, well, Gary, you have to understand, if you mess up somebody's financial life, they will sue you and they will win. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. Call yourself a single agent, call yourself a transaction, don't have any relationship, whatever. Just take good care of people. And you can call yourself anything that you want. And he understood it as well as anybody, because attorneys, they can't work for both parties in a transaction. But the reason that the state of Florida, at least, has been very cautious about allowing single agency is that they feel like it's the attorney standard. In other words, you go from being a customer to being a client. And I just feel comfortable with that model, because I give people a choice when we sit down with them to first talk. Would you like me to represent you on an arm's length, or to represent you as an attorney would, to get every last advantage that you can get? And I have never had anybody say, no, arm's length is fine for me. Just, you know, if I have to pay too much for the house or I have to sell it for too little, whatever, you know, just get me through the process, because that's all transaction brokerage requires in the state of Florida. So that's why I don't understand why that's the default. I think we ought to be held to a higher standard, but that's a business choice that companies have to make. But I would guess at this point, about 90% have chosen to just go with the state standard, which is transaction brokerage. So that's part of the reason I think we have sometimes a decline in the overall ethical standards that happen, and why it's sometimes frustrating working on some of these things, because people aren't always getting the first class service that they deserve.
Or just giving the consumer the option, because it sounds like what you guys are doing that's most unique is educating your clients to say, hey, here's your options. You do have a choice here. Whereas many agents, sometimes they're not educated enough to provide those choices. They just go for the default, thinking it's easiest. But I love your attorney, because he encapsulated how big a deal it is with what we do in real estate, where he mentions if you screw up somebody's financial life. And that's what I think many realtors forget in dealing with one transaction after the other and moving from client to client, that each of those clients, when they're helping them with real estate, it's their biggest financial instrument, whether it's, you know, secondary to their stock portfolio, that's negligible. But for most people, it's the one big financial thing they ever deal with. And realtors have to take that more seriously. So I wish your attorney would get out on the speaking circuit.
Well, and I'll give you another example. There's a very productive realtor in our community who is, it's pretty easy to work with. And here's why. I call listing agents if I think somebody's really going to like something, and I go, they don't have to tell anybody, but I just ask, I mean, do we have any flexibility at all in price? I just, you know, I need to know, because I don't want to make a ridiculous offer to you and then, you know, you be embarrassed and everything else. So just tell me, is there any flexibility at all? This house was listed by this guy at 275, and I said, my comps show about 260. Do we have some range there to be able to work with? He says, get me an offer and I can make it work for you. Well, that to me is free range as a single agent to go in there and say, how about 255? You know, could you do that? And we got it for 255. So it's kind of like, to me, that's throwing your own, even if they're a customer, that's throwing your customer under the bus, really, because you've now told somebody. My reaction when somebody says, would they take less than 275? I don't know. You can put it on paper. I'll take it to them and present it in good faith. You tell me why they should take less than this. My comps show 275. But, you know, if you want to make a lower offer, I have a responsibility to show it to them and, you know, present it in its best light. But I've got to tell you, they're probably going to be disappointed with that. So you do what you think you need to do, and we'll go from there. And I very rarely get anybody that comes in well under, but I present all offers, obviously, but you know, it's amazing that he would be so willing to just, anything, just bring me something, you know. It really harms the marketplace, because that customer has not been well taken care of at that point.
Well, on the flip side, though, because we are messengers, you don't know what instructions his sellers gave him. So if it were a distressed sale or a divorce where something has to happen immediately and getting it on paper was the most important thing, the money didn't matter as much as timing. Yeah. So I think we have to be careful too in making assumptions about the other side, although there are agents that will short sell their clients to get the better price.
Yeah, it wasn't a distress sale. The more I found out about it, the more I realized this was just an attempt to get something on paper. And I understand that. We all want to get something on paper and not hesitate, and quicker is better than slower. But if he had slow played it, he could have gotten more out of it. I'm absolutely convinced. But having been invited to the table to offer even less, we're going to offer less. So it just depends on the situation. You're absolutely right. I mean, there's no.
It does. I mean, the thing I've learned in the business is I'm trying not to throw other realtors under the bus as quickly as I used to, because we just never know the conversation they had with their client who may have given them very specific instructions. So our job is to handle our side as professionally as possible. And you do bring in as aggressive an offer as you can based on your client's instructions, but We never know. It's kind of like with divorce. You don't know what happens behind closed doors.
Sure, absolutely.
I try to focus on my side, and I'll help the other side as much as possible throughout the transaction. If it seems that the other agent is not as educated or versed, we are glad to carry both sides. But
right.
Well, if there's anything I've learned in life, is that I've got to err on the side of grace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I understand that. It's just, it's curious sometimes what you find out there, because some are what I feel like are doing the right thing by trying to get, if you're in the role of trying to protect the seller's interest, try to get as much as you can without just inviting any old offer. I mean, there's
But that's what I'm saying, though, Gary. I mean, if their instructions to him were, dude, get us something, and he came back to you and said, bring me something, he's following their instructions.
No,
so
I understand. I understand.
I mean,
I understand.
We'll never know all the conversations they had and what exactly was happening in their life at that moment. That's all I'm saying.
True. That's true. And you have to realize, too, that people's motivational status is a roller coaster. I mean, one day
Absolutely
they go, bring me an offer
is.
Of any kind, and just you bring them a perfectly reasonable offer, and they go, no, not a penny under this.
Yeah, how
and
dare you try to make me give my house away?
And then you have other people who go, oh, just bring me any, I need this. This is the absolute. And then you go, I'm really embarrassed to bring this to you, but, you know, we can always counter offer back. No, I'm ready to do this right now. So, okay. Yesterday you told me not a dime under 350, and now you're taking 330. I mean, do you not even want to go back to them with a counter that might get you a little closer to what you were looking to get? No, I need to move. And sometimes they'll tell you why, and that's okay. And sometimes they won't tell you why. And it's like, that's okay. It's your house. It's your money. And you do with it what you want. I'm just here to be able to assist you in the process, and that's fine. And you're right. I mean, it's a roller coaster of emotions daily. And sometimes people feel like they're in more control, and sometimes they don't. I have learned one thing, though, Lee. In negotiation world, the people who have the most to lose always lose the most. And by that, I mean, if you're about to go into foreclosure, you're probably going to take that first offer that comes along, because you do not want to go into foreclosure. And so you've lost, you know, negotiating strength. And even if your agent is trying to promote for you and try to keep not only you out of foreclosure, but get you a few extra dollars, whatever, just on to next. And you've got a buyer, and I'm sure you've had a lot of these folks over the years that they've got $1 million in the bank, and they can afford, they can qualify. They've got a 800 credit score. They're just golden. It's like, this doesn't quite meet my needs. And you go, well, this is the best home that's available in the area, but we have others. And so, when they go, well, you know, I'm not going to offer $900,000 on this one. How about $750,000? Well, if it doesn't work at that price, they're on to next. And so they have all the negotiating power, whereas the people who have been sitting there for almost a year with their house for sale are likely to go, we need to go out to Seattle and take my new job and not have two housing payments along the way. So we'll cut the price to be able to get to that point. So in negotiation, it really does, as much as we help people in trying to negotiate things, it really does come down to, if you're in the weakest position, we can only do so much to leverage it. And if you're in the strongest position, we're probably going to win, because you have every right to say no to anything that doesn't meet exactly what you're looking for.
Okay, so. Well, we are running over my time limit on this episode as we talk about the ins and outs of real estate, but that's always the fun part. It's what happens in Florida has applicability to North Carolina and Kansas and Washington. It's so interesting. But Gary, if anybody has questions about Orlando and the Orlando market, how can they reach you?
Sure. You can go to my website. It's just GaryBalanoff.com, or just call direct. The office is open all the time. So 407-366-9797. And I will be contacted and get back and help with whatever is needed.
Awesome. Well, I will include all of Gary's information in the show notes for this episode if you are sweating to the oldies or riding down the road while you're listening to this episode. And if you are a broker, a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or an average Joe homeowner, property owner who has your own story to share about crazy shit in real estate, hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks and subscribe for more. We will see you next time.
for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.